get four free tickets.
I should have figured that when you said that.
We'll figure that out. Since this isn't a tape, not, since they're not numbered, it's not like an audio cassette. I'm going to put it right there so it picks up stereo sound.
Is it already on?
It's already on. And you know what?
Well, you just hit the red button, right? Oh, no, it's already recording.
Yeah. Here's a camera that if you want to take a, if we'd like to have it, them take a picture. Oh, you look perfect, God. Diane, but if
we
you want to do
it afterwards, if you want
to do it afterwards, you know how to work that, don't you?
Yeah.
And I will come up. I won't knock on the door, but I'll come up in about 45 minutes.
Am I a researcher?
Yes.
Does AJ do it too?
Yeah. So I'm just talking? You're asking me questions.
Yes.
Good luck. Have a good time.
Hey, thanks.
Thank you.
We'll see you in a bit.
Okay.
And where does this information go? Is this just...
Putting together a website currently on a budget. What do we have on there right now? We have a bunch of Drake buildings.
Buildings.
History reports on buildings. We're doing history reports on deceased alumni.
Yeah.
And then the oral history projects from alumni.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Sign your name here. Okay. And
that's for
him. Yeah. I don't know what that is.
We don't have to worry about that. If you could please fill out this section and then sign and date.
Okay.
This is a release form so we can use the tape.
And where do you see yourself using it?
Just for Claudia's use.
Now, have you all been interviewed at, you know, each other or practiced in that sort of way? Or?
No, we haven't done that yet. We've listened to a bunch that the... Well, they started doing an oral history project, and we've listened to Paul Morrison's and Wanda Everidge's.
Yeah. And then we interviewed Susan.
We did interview Susan.
Now, I was here... with Wanda.
Okay.
Really?
The exact same time.
Oh.
Yeah, we graduated together. So that's, and we have completely, it's almost like we were at a different school. From, you know, from whatever conversation. Okay, is today the
8th?
Eighth.
Okay. There you go.
Thank you.
All right. Are we ready?
We are.
Okay. This is Bailey Sternhaus interviewing Diane Kalbeck in the conference room in Cal's library for our Drakeopedia Oral History Project. Okay, can you tell us about where you were born and raised?
Sure. I was born in St. Louis, Missouri,
mm-hmm.
in 1950, and I was raised in St. Louis, eventually moving to the suburbs and going to high school there, and then coming from St. Louis to Drake University in 1968.
Okay, so did you attend high school then in St.
Yeah.
Louis? Did you live in a suburb, or did you live in St. Louis?
I was born in St. Louis, moved to a suburb when I was about 6, lived
okay.
in a suburb of Crestwood, went to Lindbergh High School, and heard about Drake and ended up there. And then I went back to St. Louis after Drake, but then I came back here because that's where my husband is from.
How did you happen to decide upon Drake?
That's an interesting story, I think, and certainly different from how you all go about things. But if memory serves me correctly, I was taking my SAT test with some friends, and we were told to send our scores to some schools. And I thought that I was probably just going to go to Missouri University. But I was talking to my neighbor, and I said, where are you sending your scores? And because they wanted private schools, so she said she was sending it to Drake in Iowa and Bradley, and I'm not even sure what else. And so I just wrote those down because I didn't have any particular knowledge of schools. And then after a month or so, I started receiving some information from Drake and nice letters encouraging me to come, acting like they wanted me. And I thought, well, this is great. These guys want me to come to school there. So, never having been to Des Moines or to campus, I said, sure.
So you never viewed the campus or anything before coming here?
No.
Were you scared then when you got here?
Yeah, paralyzed.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it. I did go to orientation in the summer. My mother and I drove up, and we'd never been to Iowa, and just, it was completely foreign. And I'm not even, to be honest, a brave person. So it was just quite outside the box for me. And so I went to orientation, came back, packed my stuff, you know, a month later or whatever, and came to Drake without really knowing too terribly much about it, except that they seemed to want me. And I did have a few classmates from my high school that were there, that were coming as well. So yeah, thanks for asking if I was nervous. Yes.
How far away was Drake from your house?
Back in those days, it was about a 7-hour drive. But it's always been just about 350 miles. But it was just a longer drive, lots of two-lane. So same distance as Chicago.
Okay. Did you have any, like, definite career aspirations? And if so, what were they?
I did. And again, through not any real thinking on my own, just my mother was a teacher, and every family member always said, you'll be a great teacher, you're going to be a teacher. Of course, about 90% of the women that attended Drake probably at that time, I'm making up the statistic, but anyway, did go into teaching. So it was an expectation, and it seemed like the right move. And because everybody said that I would be good at it, I always go on by compliments of people. I couldn't make up my mind, I guess, on my own. And so I followed that path. I felt like I was a little unique in that, though, because I chose secondary education instead of elementary ed, and most of my friends were in elementary ed.
So did you follow through with with education, or did you do a different major?
I did. I went all the way through in education, and then I even started in special ed as well, because that is what my mother taught, and she thought that I should have that certification as well to hopefully guarantee a job. And so I graduated from Drake with a degree in, and I actually didn't student teach in special ed, just to be honest. But I had social science was my my major, social sciences, and I did get a job immediately, and things were starting to tighten up a little bit, so I felt pretty good about that.
What do you remember about moving into the dorm?
Well, my sort of funny story is that I was very nervous, and we all drove up, and it was my mother and my father, and then my two sisters, who were just each like a year younger, one after the other, and then my brother. So we packed a car full, and we drove up, and again, I was nervous about walking up to the dorm, and I was in fourth floor carpenter, and they didn't have it the way that they have it now, where somebody meets you there and moves you in, and makes everybody feel just great and wonderful. You were sort of on your own. And so the funny part of the story is that while my dad and I are lugging all of my boxes and stuff and belongings and clothes up, my two sisters are making friends with everybody that I should have been making friends with. So they all thought, all these people on fourth floor carpenter thought that they were me. And so by the end of the day, they had made some fast friends, but they were leaving, and I hadn't met anybody. So that's what I remember about the first day.
Did you know your roommate prior to coming to Drake?
I did not, just through some communication before. Mm-hmm. She was from the south side of Chicago, suburb.
What do you remember about your first classes at Drake?
You know, to be honest, I don't remember too much about freshman year classes. I don't have a strong, except biology with Professor Johnson, and then Western Civ with Julian Archer. And Julian just recently retired, so he's been around for quite some time. So mostly I remember being scared in biology and frightened that I was going to fail because it was sort of difficult for me. And it was a huge lecture room, Harvey Ingham 104, and so many people in it, and he just looked like godlike standing at the, you know, at the bottom. I'm sure you don't even know what Harvey Ingham used to look like because you're brand new students because it's been changed, but it had a very steep incline, and it was just I was a sort of a quiet home. I was used to my family and such, so the transition was much harder than I thought, to be honest, and I spent a whole lot of time being nervous.
So did you feel like you were not prepared for your first year at Drake, like for school-wise?
I think high school prepared me. I just think that I needed to know how to adapt to my freedom and learn how to study throughout the day and those kinds of things that perhaps are similar to all of you now.
Do you recall having a favorite professor? What, who and why?
I had a couple of people that were meaningful to me, and although I don't think that they knew me as well as I knew them, I don't think that there was that same sort of connection that students have with their teachers now, or if there was, I didn't take enough advantage of it. But certainly Professor Will Hoyt, who was a political science professor and an icon at Drake, was, I just remember his lectures and remember the impact that they had on me, and probably the one that just a lot of people my age talk about, and actually older and younger, was Professor McNerlin, Lewis McNerlin, who was a sociology professor, and he did a class called Marriage and the Family, and everybody took it, and it was just really, you know, you had to write reflections at the end of the year, and it's sort of, you began to start analyzing really who you were, and so that was, those were two impressive professors, and then a lot of my education professors were, my senior year when I did, you know, student teaching and practicums and such, they were also good as well, but a couple of them were sort of, well, yeah, never mind. I was just going to say there was a couple of adjunct, but I don't even think that's true. But George Lair, Professor Lair, was somebody who I had my senior year that helped me realize my potential.
What kind of activities, groups, or memberships were you involved in?
I was pretty involved on campus in a variety of activities. I sort of a joiner, and so probably the first thing that I joined was a sorority. I was a member of a Delta Gamma, still am, I guess, and I found that to be just exactly what I needed. It was perfect for me. That organization, more than anything else, was, you know, where I made my long-lasting friendships, my lifelong friendships, and also where I held offices that taught me the leadership qualities that I needed to sort of get to where I am today. So that was very, very important to me. And, you know, I did intramurals. I'm competitive and love that kind of stuff. And then I was also involved in just a lot of committees and student activity committees and relays committees and Greek life committees and such. I wasn't so much into, I didn't do the political aspects or that, but I was involved, yeah, I think.
What intramurals were you involved in?
Oh, I did softball and tennis, and, you know, we didn't have a swimming pool back then. Volleyball, but not very good at that, but did it. Mostly I liked softball.
Throughout your years as a student at Drake, where did you live?
I lived my freshman year in Carpenter on the fourth floor, and then that was back when they allowed you and expected you to move into your sorority your second year. So I lived in the sorority then the rest of my Drake career. So again, not very adventurous. I was in a dorm, and then I was in the sorority house for the next 3 years.
What rules did you have to follow to live in dorms or your sorority house? Like, was there a dress code, rules of conduct, or curfews?
Yes. That's probably the thing I remember the most about the time I was at Drake and the how things changed really dramatically in the 4 years that I was there, to sort of strict rules to letting go of those and becoming almost lax, or to what we experience now. So if memory serves me correctly, my first year, my freshman year, we had hours. Weeknights were 12, weekends were 2, and you had to be in. No key cards, no anything. I think there was a door monitor, and a commentary on that is that it didn't seem like a bad thing at all. It was sort of fun because everybody came in at the same time, so you're all standing at the door, especially on the weekends. I mean, the weekdays were different, but you just all lined up saying goodbye to your dates, and then you all went in, and then you talked about them for the next couple of hours. And so that was sort of a lot of fun and good times, and then you just were able to visit with people on your floor, and I think you became very well acquainted with your residence halls and such. So there were rules, and there was a dress code. The only thing I'm not too sure of in my oral history is whether some of them were sorority rules or whether they were university rules. But I recall that you had to wear skirts to class. Not the guys, just the girls. But we had to dress appropriately. No jeans, no, and it got just as cold in the winter there then as it does now. So there were a couple of times that they would say, "No, you can wear slacks because it's freezing." But I remember that being a pretty hard and fast rule. And but then my sophomore year, pretty much everything started to change. And you got key cards, and the between sophomore and junior year, I think there were no more hours, and so what was really defined. I mean, we were right in the midst of some major changes in society and on campus that were probably really defined our era at Drake, and probably, I could be wrong, but it doesn't seem like any time before or since has ever been quite like the time that that we were at the university, because of Vietnam and the changes in society and drinking and drugs, and it sounds sort of weird, but you came in and you were sort of naive and innocent, and then it was just your education just became really different. You had that loss of innocence, which I think in large part, I mean, in college campuses you start learning about so many things, and your existence or your knowledge base has expanded so much, but there were so many societal changes going on at the same time that it was just a very interesting time to be in college.
What were some events you attended at Drake that stand out as particularly memorable?
I would address sort of the social things that I did, like football games were fun, and we had a Yell Like Hell contest, which I think still exists in part. And so that was nice. We were Division I football then, and then we had Greek Week, and there was just Greek Week dances and dance contests, and I always participated in the dance contest because I like to dance a whole lot. So those were fun, and part of Greek Week was always Sweetheart Sing, which still exists to this day, and so that's a long-standing tradition that I thought was great. Bulldog Tales was another pretty long-standing tradition that no longer exists. Relays, of course, relays committees, and we did used to do floats with, so groups would team up, and so you would actually build a float, and then you'd be in the relays parade, and that was downtown. It was, you know, very fun and exciting. So those were the things that I was involved with, I think, sort of socially, campus-wide, that were, again, fun, important, meaningful. But then also at the same time, there were, again, with Vietnam, and there were demonstrations and moratoriums and marches down to the Capitol, and while I didn't have strong political beliefs, I was just forming them at that time. I participated because I wanted to be part of the experience and to understand what was going on and such. And in large part, a whole lot of that had to do with volunteering. Like, there was a revitalization corps that I was a part of. So we would be involved in the community a little bit as well. So I tried to sort of get a taste of everything. And then by the time my senior year rolled around, I even tried out for a play because I hadn't done anything like that. So, you know, just experiencing it all.
What did you do for entertainment off campus? Like, did you go to movies or go dancing?
You know, we would go out occasionally to restaurants, Sunday in particular and such. I guess a few movies and such, but I don't remember. It seems like most of my life was just sort of campus-related and campus activities. I didn't have a car, and a lot of people didn't have cars at that time. It wasn't as prevalent, and so we stayed on campus a lot and had weekend parties off campus and such, and formals and things like that, but I didn't, an occasional trip to the mall, but I don't think of a life too much outside of my campus activities.
Could you share a special memory about dating a dance or maybe a sporting event while at Drake?
Sure. Well, probably, and this is the thing you remember the most is the things that, you know, stroke your ego the most, and I had been nominated by my sorority to be on the Miss Drake court, something that they had years ago, and so it was for Drake relays, and so you were nominated, and I don't know, there were four or five of us that were selected, and so I was not Miss Drake, just so we're clear on that, but I was on her court, and that was really, so you got, you know, you're in a parade, and you got to sit in special seating for relays, and so that was a special moment, and then in the sorority, I held a couple of offices that were that were, I guess, meaningful. I keep using that word, and important to me, but they were, and I think they had a sort of a base for what I'm doing right now, for the university.
Could you describe any memories you have of your graduation ceremony?
Yes, I can. It was funny, I was thinking about that as I was walking over. Graduation at that time was held at the stadium. So risky because of the weather and such. Although I know the year before I had a friend graduate, and I believe it was at Veterans Auditorium. But anyway, so it was at the stadium, and our commencement speaker was Neil Armstrong, which was really just huge. And so it just felt like a really big deal. And of course, you know, I came to Drake in 68, I graduated in 72, 69, we walked on the moon. So, I mean, that was again, another important part of history. You're having, you're demonstrating and you're fighting in Vietnam, and at the same time, you're walking on the moon, and it was just all this dichotomy of all these clashing things happening that just were so impactful. So anyway, Neil Armstrong spoke. It was real windy. It was a real windy day, so you couldn't keep your gowns in place or anything like that. And I had sidebar, because again, I always do things wrong, and so it can't just be easy. So all my family was coming in, and aunts and uncles, because I was the first grandchild and first person to graduate from my generation. And the robes back then that they sold you or rented you or whatever, they were basically made of paper. But I didn't realize that. They were tremendously wrinkled, so I went to iron it. And of course, it all ended up on the iron. It was just, I completely burned a hole in my in my gown. So, I don't know, whatever we did, obviously nobody noticed but me, but we made it work, but it was just traumatic, you know. And so it almost, you know, I was probably late for commencement ceremonies and such. But it was, I just remember it being pretty special, and being with friends and going out to dinner and, you know, having a nice celebration with relatives.
What did you do after graduating Drake?
I moved to St. Louis because I had accepted a teaching job at the same high school that I had just graduated from a few years before. So I was going to be teaching at Lindbergh High School, 11th grade American History, to people like 16 years old, and I was just 21, so another thing where I felt like I was biting off more than I could chew. But at the same time, or that same summer, I became engaged to my husband, who was also a Drake graduate, but he lived in Des Moines and worked in Des Moines, so he was. But I accepted my job before I became engaged. So I went to St. Louis, and then within a year, he decided to follow me. That's my favorite part of the story, by the way. He followed me to St. Louis, and he took a job there because he was an accountant, and it was a little easier for him to find employment. So I began my teaching career in August of 72.
You said your husband was from Drake. How did you guys meet?
He had graduated a couple of years before, and he was working for Pete Murick and Mitchell, and I was doing my student teaching, and a person that I student taught with was a close friend of my husband's, and he fixed us up while, my first semester of senior year, and I was student teaching at Lincoln High School. And we went to a play together, The Odd Couple at Lincoln High. Yeah. And so it began.
Have you kept in touch with any of your friends from Drake, and how?
Yes, over the years, and I've been out this year. This May will be my 40th reunion. Really shocking to even think in those kinds of terms. But, you know, you sort of go in and out depending on your children and such, so there's peaks and valleys in your relationship with your friends and such. But we, I've kept in touch with a core group, but then I have the added benefit of being employed at the university and doing what I do, which is alumni relations and development and relationship building and connecting with. So I have a very wide circle of friends at the university, and alums, and then my children graduate from Drake as well, and my husband. So sometimes I think I know all 64,000 alums.
If you had to do it over again, would you have done anything differently?
I think the short answer is no. I'm delighted with my Drake education, with the opportunities it afforded me. It was just a great experience. I met wonderful people. I'm now working for the institution that I love. Small things, you know, would I have... I don't know, does anybody ever not think that they wish they'd studied a little harder or paid more attention, you know, to this, that, or the other? So I would make a few changes, but all in all, I feel very happy with my life and the role that Drake has played in it.
Can you describe what the Callback Challenge is?
Sure, I'd love to. All along, I didn't have the same opportunities, I think, at Drake that students have now, where they have these wonderful FYSs and get to learn all about the university sort of firsthand. And so what I learned about philanthropy and how it works and giving back to your university and such just came sort of over the years, and just that I valued what I got. And when I got a phone call from a student phone-a-thon worker, you know, I would just say, sure, I'll give a little. But I didn't fully understand the importance of giving to private education and how much, and the fact that tuition doesn't necessarily pay the full bill at all, even though it seems like a big chunk of change. So to expand on that, I had the wonderful opportunity to work at Drake. Our children chose to go to Drake, and in large part because they got free tuition for attending, and because they chose majors that Drake, I think Drake's great at everything, but particularly pharmacy and journalism. So I felt it my duty to explain to my children that if they chose to go to a private school and got the education that they were getting for basically free, that they should commit to giving back to the university, because that's the only way. We all ride on the shoulders of others, is what I say, and that it's an important commitment, and they needed to make that commitment for life. I didn't really know that they were listening, but but I told them that and stressed it and talked about involvement on all levels, not just giving, but being part of the community forever, not just the 4 years that they attended. So evidently it sort of took with them, and just and I also talked to them about creating a habit, so not to wait too long to start giving right away. And then I also, as an alumni director, spent a lot of time talking to students about class gifts and making an impact even as a student, so you don't leave the university. What happened was this year, after, you know, we've been in a campaign, and my children at the suggestion of a development director, officer at Drake, endowed a gift in my honor. So my three, and I still consider them relatively young to be making a $25,000 endowed gift to the university, very much surprised me, let's just say shocked me, by signing on to endow a gift to match student giving. So it's a challenge to you all as students to give to Drake, and whatever the money that they got out of their endowment that we could spend, which would be at the end of 5 or 6 years, once their endowment went into true existence, they could match gifts up to $1,200. Sort of difficult to explain, but anyway, the fact is they would have money to match student giving. So if you all gave $1,200, it would double because of their gift. And it's a way, hopefully, their hope was to, or is to, inspire students to give so that you can double your impact and feel really good about it and have Drake benefit in the long run and can create that habit and honor me in the process. So it was just really, quite honestly, probably one of the most touching and meaningful things that has ever happened to me. And to think that my children did it was pretty special.
What words of wisdom would you leave with this year's senior class of 2012?
Well, I'm not so good at wisdom, even at my age. I think I always like to tell people that I honestly believe that there is so much importance in connections and relationships, and that's where how they will enjoy success, by staying connected, reaching out, and being involved. It's not just about getting a job. All that stuff will fall into place if you just put forth some energy to remember who you are and what your most important relationships are and how to use them to benefit yourself and also benefit the people that you touch. I'm not sure that was very good, but anyway, that would be my advice.
Do you have anything else you'd like to add or any final words?
Gosh. No, I think that I've probably said enough. But somewhere in there, when I was talking about all those, that turbulence and Neil Armstrong talking and people that had an impact on me and such, I always feel it's important to mention that I was there when Drake went to the Final Four, too. And I can't believe I forgot to mention. So when I talk about exciting times at the university and things that you will never, ever forget, that certainly has to be a highlight of my time at Drake. And that was my freshman year.
So did you go?
It was crazy good. I went to one of the lead end. I remember going to Manhattan, Kansas for either semifinals or regionals. I can't remember. I know a man would always know what that was, but I can't remember. I just know it was amazing, and so that was a huge defining moment at Drake.
It's pretty exciting.
Yes.
All right. Well, I think that's about it. Yeah.
Yep.
And you didn't have to say anything?
Nope.
No, it's all me.
How come I didn't get that?
I don't know. I didn't like it. I wanted him to say things.
You had all the follow-up questions. I'm just here to listen.
Yeah, he gets to write the transcript. So.
Oh, you do? Yeah. Is that how it works?
That's our deal.
Yeah, we're all set.
So had you, so you haven't done, so I'm the only person that you, mm-hmm. you interviewed.
Yep. I'm really curious. One person had an interview and one person just sits there.
Yep.
So, well, how do you think I did? What did you?
I thought it was good.
Did you learn a lot?
Very interesting.
Yeah. Seemed like you're interviewing yourself.
Makes it easy on us.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you don't have to ask me too many, which is really funny because I think I use the word shy, and anybody who meets me says, you are not shy, but I was. See, that's what Drake did. It just brought it all out for me, and now I'm, but see, I was rushed. Are you in a sorority?
No.
By any chance? Well, I did, so, and so I was a, they called it rush back then,
yeah.
But recruitment. And I know that that's how I learned how to talk to people. And actually, just so you know, I wish I would have given this piece of advice. My favorite, I sometimes teach a Don Adams leadership class, but if you always, it's too bad I could do this over again. I think you should go through life. My advice now that I'm thinking about it, is to pretend that you're always wearing a name tag. Because if you think you're wearing a name tag, then you're open, you know. You're just you've already put yourself in front of people, and you've created this nice space, and you're open to them, and you're welcoming, and because if you're wearing a name tag, it sort of gives you permission to go say hi. Now nobody knows why, because you're not really always wearing a name tag, but if you think in those kinds of terms, it makes you be more of a host rather than a guest. So I never walk into a room, even when I'm a guest, and think I'm a guest. I always think that I'm sort of a host. It'll change your life. I'm not kidding. That's my advice.
Be a host.
Be a host. Yeah. Take a host mentality and wear a name tag, even if it's just internal. Take this. So is she coming back?
I don't know if she may or may not.
Because she said, I thought she said I'd come back. But.
Probably.
Not in
Claudia.
Do you want me to go check? She was in her office.
Yeah, and I have to take a picture of you.
Oh, yeah.
I'll take the picture.
Oh, okay.
You can be in the picture.
Oh, do you want to be in the picture?
Sure. Yes. Kelly was in her picture.
Kelly was in her picture.